We begin this hour tallying the real human costs of looking good, as in Elle having a nail salon crisis in that movie Legally Blonde.
Are you free? It's an emergency.
Bad day.
You can't even imagine.
And here's some more nail salon humor from Comedy Central's Broad City.
Pick a color.
Oh, I'm just going to use one of theirs.
Well, how are you going to do touch-ups during the week?
But nail salons, it turns out, are nothing to laugh about. In a major investigation into the manicure industry, our partner The New York Times found that workers are exploited, racially categorized, and subject to toxic working conditions. That $35 mani-pedi has some hidden costs. Reporter Sarah Maslin-Neer detailed her findings in The Ugly Side of Nice Nails, and she says happy consumers are blind to potentially illegal worker exploitation, even though this growing business has put more nail salons than Starbucks on some urban streets.
There are 5,000 nail salons in New York State, 2,000 in New York City. We have the most nail salons per capita of any large metropolitan city. The next, I think, is California, and it's about half as many per capita. And my investigation, as you rightly say, really dives into why, and the why is it is possible to open a nail salon incredibly cheaply, make great profits, because they don't pay the worker.
And the worker actually pays the salon.
To start at a salon, there is a $200 to sometimes more or sometimes a little bit less fee that the worker must pay up front, at which point I found that they work unpaid for a matter of weeks to a month to an arbitrary time when the owner of the salon decides that they're good enough to merit being paid. And then, John, their starting wage, $30 a day.
How do they get away with this?
Nobody's looking. I took about 9 months for the Labor Department to send me their database of different investigations they've done, and I found just a handful on nail salons where other industries like restaurants or car washes, they're looking at. Nobody's looking at nail salons.
So it's definitely under the radar, and it's a working environment that involves some pretty serious chemicals as well. I mean, you can smell it anytime you walk into a salon. What have you discovered there?
Yes, there are plenty of chemicals in nail salons, but what's really crazy is we don't know which ones, we don't know how much, because there's a loophole in the federal law that governs what can go into cosmetics. So the FDA, right? It tests what is going to go into your food. So you know that your banana bread's not going to kill you. But there is a loophole in the law that the FDA does no pre-market testing of the chemicals that go into cosmetics. It's up to the companies, and they don't have to do anything.
And there's no standards as far as what a work environment in the air needs to meet as far as standards are concerned.
Well,
you can be around these chemicals all day long.
Sure. And there are standards, but they're very high. And they were set a long time ago. And they were set in the 50s for a strapping male worker. They didn't take into account reproductive issues. And some of these chemicals are known to impact fertility and cause spontaneous abortions.
Who are we thinking about here? What are some cases that you followed of individuals who really told you a story of exploitation? I mean, there's no other way to describe it.
Sure. Well, what was wild is that of the 125 New York area manicurists I interviewed approximately, I found no one who wasn't exploited. To put that another way, I found everyone was exploited, whether they were having their overtime not paid and their hours stretched long into the night. I mean, you know that vignette, right? It's almost like Nighthawk, but you see manicurists sitting there all night waiting to go home. They don't get paid more when the hours stretch long. And everybody pays that fee almost, and everybody had some sort of exploitation. One of the characters I followed was a young woman called Jing Ren, who really embodied it all. She had to pay a $100 fee to start working at a salon. And it was far away. So this is really interesting. Salons outside of the New York area, 2-3 hours away, use workers from Queens and other Asian neighborhoods. They pick them up on the street corners like migrant workers. So in the morning, you go out there and the streets are filled with women holding nail salon tools. And they head out. They don't even know where they're going. And they come back late at night. But when a salon is a little bit further away than 2 hours, they actually sleep at the salons in barracks above or beneath them or in a house behind them, piled up on one another. And get this, sometimes they even have to pay their bosses to live at the salons.
Are there employer brokers of workers? And is this run by some sort of chain of nail salons, or is it just sort of market-based chaos here?
I think it's the latter. I found mostly mom-and-pop chains. There are employment agencies which also, you know, take a cut and exploit people they can on occasion. But there's a saying in Korean, something to the effect of, you get the job of whoever picks you up at JFK. And so these are people who are told that this is a good job and that they can have a chance in it, and they just dive in and they don't know what is coming for them.
What about customers? I mean, there are all sorts of elegant ladies who lunch in New York who get fabulous manicures and pedicures and go around the rest of the day proud of that, and men for that matter. Do they have any consciousness of what's going on here? And if they suddenly are outraged by your reporting, is there anything they can do to try to make sure they're going to a nail salon that follows more progressive employment practices?
To answer your last question first, I did not find any nail salons that had non-exploitative practice in my report, which was sort of wild to me. So I get that question a lot. Where's a good one? And the answer is I just don't know. I think there needs to be wide-scale reform. But isn't that wild about the lady who lunches, the ultimate luxury, and you sit holding hands with a woman who lives ultimate strife? And how culpable are customers? It's something I've asked myself, having been a customer of this enterprise. We all know it's a little too cheap, right? A $10 manicure in a place where a latte is $4, a $10 manicure when minimum wage is $8.75 and rents are sky high, it doesn't add up. And everybody kind of knows, and everybody kind of ignores it, and maybe hopefully now they can't.
Brilliant. Sarah Maslin Neer, a reporter for our partner, The New York Times, investigating something that absolutely blows the lid off for the nail salons in New York City. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.